Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and I am thrilled to have on the phone with us today the Hastings Public Schools Superintendent, Dr. Robert McDowell. He is joined today by the chair of the Hastings School Board, Kelsey Waits, and they are going to fill the public in on some important changes to the learning model at the school district. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much. So first of all, Dr. McDowell, I have to give you a big shout out. You do these weekly communications with the parents, and they really are so informative, and I really appreciate them. And I think I told you last week, I heard from one of the actually, it was from Christy Barse, who is the chamber president. She is a mom of kids in the Hastings school system, and she said that she needs that every week to stay on track, and I must say I do as well. So thank you. That it's just really something that is important. Is that something you did in the Stillwater school system?
You know, we try to communicate a lot, yet I think it's important that we have a place that parents rely on and can find on a weekly basis, just kind of that check-in, because there's just so much going on. And I think now with us being continually distanced from one another, consistent communication is helpful for most. It's good to hear.
Yeah, well, it's true. So let's talk more about this, a tool that has recently been used, maybe within the last month or so, the COVID dashboard, and tell people what that is and how really just anyone in the general public can take a look at that.
So the COVID dashboard is really a way for us to try to keep up at a minimum every week, update what are the numbers of cumulative cases, cumulative amount of staff and students that are out of our buildings, as well as the up-to-date numbers of students and staff. Because I think one of the things that people sometimes get frustrated with is they only see the county numbers. And so what we wanted to do was to make sure that we were able to provide the community with what super local numbers are, right, which is at the school buildings level.
Yes. Well, you mentioned the county numbers. How do they in turn bubble up into decisions that you make as far as what learning looks like?
We really have started to use multiple layers of information. So we look at our county numbers in terms of the total amount of cases that are happening in the Dakota County area. We then look at our city, so by zip code, what do the numbers look like there? And then we look at our buildings in terms of what are our numbers look like there, both in terms of positive cases and the number of students and staff that are out of our buildings. Because remember, as the COVID information comes in or people have to go out, they're typically going out for 14 days at a time. And so that leads into the last set of data, which is what does our staffing ability look like? And so with six different buildings right now, we're really monitoring all of that data as it impacts our ability to staff for students, and that leads into why we would or wouldn't make a change in a learning model.
So how have things been trending, let's say, within the last month?
Things were trending fairly stable. They were hovering up and then down and up and then down, and then we hit 3 weeks ago, and the numbers have increased exponentially. Not only, and I think people have seen this, at the national level, state level, our county level, our city numbers have gone up significantly. In the last week, we've seen significant increases, both in the amount of students and staff that have been confirmed positive cases, but also what's called close contact. So the people that are impacted by those positive cases, which sends a lot of people out of the buildings. The other piece that we watch that has gone up significantly is what's called the positive test rate. And so the Department of Health states that at 5%, there is significant spread going on. Currently, we are at 8.1%, and that has increased over the past 3 weeks from 5 to 5.5 to 6 point something up to 8.1.
And what do you think the significance of the last 3 weeks has been, please?
Well, the significance has been that we are seeing impacts in our buildings more, not just with students, but also with staff having to go out due to a lot of the close contact tracing that's going on. And so that impacts our ability to provide education for our kids, even in a hybrid model.
Is there something that happened within the last month or so in this area that would have caused those numbers to spike all of a sudden?
You know, nothing that that I'm aware of specifically. We know that we're trending in the same manner as everywhere else is right now. And it was what was expected. It's what was predicted. We've been really focused on trying to keep kids in our buildings through Thanksgiving. And we're just going to make that with elementary at this point. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know when.
I know that Superintendent McDowell had kind of talked about this, but I do think it's important to bring up again just because of what I do hear from the community, and that's that in making these decisions that we don't just look at those county numbers, that we really are taking that, balancing it with the local number, what's going on in Hastings, what's going on in our schools, and how this really is, any decision is being localized to our district, and I think that's important. And as far as the spike, I mean, with math, as we look at how things can spread, it's not surprising that once numbers hit a certain point, that you really see them balloon and grow at this very quick speed. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
So with that being said, I know on our last weekly communication from the school, there is going to be a shift in the learning model. Who would like to talk about that, please?
I can start, I guess. We are planning to move to distance learning for all of our students. That'll happen in two phases. Our secondary students, so 5 through 12, they will transition, have two transition days next Monday and Tuesday, and then they will have their regular flex day next Wednesday as they start distance learning full-time. And then elementary students will shift into distance learning on November 30th. They will have transitional days the week of Thanksgiving, so the 23rd and 24th. And then that'll mean that all of our students will be learning from home at that point in time.
Switching to distance learning is not an easy decision, and I know that, and we know, the school district and the board knows, that this can impact families differently. For families who are working and may not have the opportunity to work from home, families who have to struggle to try to find childcare, or maybe for kiddos who distance learning is really not kind of an easy or, you know, the best way for them to learn. And so we do know that this is going to be difficult, and it was not an easy decision. But importantly, we did also want to make this decision early enough that we could give especially our elementary families time to figure out how to make it work for their family, how to find that child care if they need it, how to work with their employer if they need to, and give them time leading up to that so that we weren't doing some sort of a last minute, you know, we need to switch because of a staffing shortage, and doing what we could to make sure the community had that decision ahead of time.
That is a great, great set of points that Kelsey's making, that really it was our intent, was to try to give particularly our elementary families enough time to figure out how to make the transition work.
There are so many moving parts to this, and we really want to applaud you for thinking so many things through and it making it as easy as possible and giving people enough lead time. How is this going to look for people that haven't been in this distance learning model before?
Well, I'll start with the secondary level, because there won't be much change in terms of what students experience except for location. They will still run their 4.5-week cycles through their classes, and they will be meeting with some scheduled Zoom times each day with their teachers. We will keep our Wednesday flex day as an opportunity for teachers to connect with students and do some other things as needed. And then that will be pretty much the same thing for the middle school.
Is it still them by alphabet?
Well, technically all the kids will be in at the same time, right? Because we'll be in distance learning, but they will still be set up as the alphabetical days that we've known in terms of AABB.
Okay.
So they'll have the ability to keep a schedule with the teacher that they have. Elementary is going to look a little bit different just in terms of how they are able to deliver content now that they don't have kids at home at the same time logging in that they do in person. And so those elementary principals are refining some of those details right now with their staff because they want to make sure that they're able to, now that we have iPads for all of our elementary students, really make sure we're utilizing the technology as much as we can and as effective as we can for all the students.
And what about Kids Campus, please?
So we will be continuing with our child care, and it's all going to be at the middle school. We're going to take over some more rooms at the middle school so we keep everything located in the same place for those students because we know we'll have increases as we move to distance learning.
And then this will start, as you mentioned, for secondary kids the 18th, and then it'll start the following week for the elementary kids. Would we assume this goes then through January 4th when we would be coming back from our Christmas break?
That's correct. Right now, our anticipated plan is to run distance learning for sure through the 22nd of December, which is the will lead us right into winter break. At that point in time, we'll be looking at our numbers, seeing what that two-week projection looks like and whether it makes sense for us to anticipate coming back after winter break or to stay out through January 15th, 14th at the end of the semester. And then it'll probably be a 1 or 2 week transition period that we'll keep looking at as we move through time so that we again give people as much anticipated warning as we can before we would make any adjustments.
So we've been talking about the distance learning model and the hybrid model, but all along, kids have had an opportunity to go to school in an online academy through the Hastings Public School System. Can somebody explain that to me, and can you tell me if that's going to change at all or what that looks like?
Yeah, we've had our Hastings Online Academy that's been up and running. We have just under 700 students, K-12, that are in it. That program will continue on. It really will go seamlessly, for the most part, uninterrupted through this. The only interruption will be on the transition days because those teachers, while they're teaching Hastings Online Academy, the majority of those teachers are also teaching in the hybrid model. And so the classes will continue over those transition days, but the teachers will be focused on getting transitioned into distance learning for the rest of their students and so won't be having the level of interaction with those kids. But otherwise, it should be fairly seamless.
And my understanding is starting with the second semester, if somebody is currently in the distance learning hybrid model, they have the opportunity to move to online academy.
Yeah, so we've had up and running now the opportunity for families to request switching either one way or the other. And so our building principals and our counseling departments and our technology department are all working together to navigate the different switches that potentially will take place as we move into the second semester and meet the needs for as many of the families as we possibly can.
And tell us about the lunch program, please. Are kids going to have an opportunity to have their lunch bused to them?
They are, actually. We are working on meals right now, and our plan is to run meals via buses to bus stops. And so at this point in time, we're planning to run meal routes every day and then also have what we're calling a second chance pickup, which will be at the end of each day at the district office. So just in case there's a student or a family that wasn't for some reason able to make the bus stop on that day, we're going to have a pickup location here at the district office for those families to be able to pick up the food that they need.
Certainly lots to work out and lots to have put together, so we want to say thank you for doing that. How is the staff doing? How are the teachers doing, do you think?
You know, we have a significantly awesome staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just really do. They're working really hard. They're putting in long hours. They're doing the best that they can to meet the needs of all the kids in our system. They're tired, you know. I think as we all feel the continual drain of this situation, it's been really a difficult and challenging task to have teachers develop and implement the learning that needs to take place in two different formats, right? In the online format and in hybrid. But they've done it, and they've done it without hesitation. And so we're just thankful that we have the staff that we have in Hastings.
We have a really amazing team. And, you know, I've just watched, like at the elementary level, you know, creating small groups on Zoom lessons so that you can still get that individual attention for kiddos who may need more help or kiddos who may need to be pushed a little bit more because they need a little bit harder math work, for example, and creating those small groups to try to meet each kiddo where they're at and really work with them. I've been very impressed. And like Superintendent McDowell said, I mean, the teachers are just doing, all of our staff really are just doing a phenomenal job stepping up and working in this reality that we're in right now and really coming together to do what's best for our kiddos and our community. And it's great to be a part of this team.
Well, that sure is comforting to hear as a parent. But if we really need help, if you think that your child is struggling in some way, I know the teachers want our kids to succeed. And so I think all you have to do is reach out. There's so many ways to do that. Email, going on Schoology and looking. So we can't put our head in the sand. We have to just keep in this together and move forward. And we're going to make a big change here coming up, but we're all in this together. So we really appreciate you telling us how this is going to happen and putting our fears to rest. So thank you so much. Anything else you want to tell our listeners?
I would just encourage parents that, like we had said before, if your students are having any difficulties, whether that's a difficult time keeping up with the work online or they need that extra push, I mean, please reach out to your teachers and work with them, because we really are all in this together and trying to do what's best for all of our kiddos. And so reaching out and working with your teacher is really going to be the best way to try to make that work.
Great advice. Thank you so much. Our guest today, Hastings Public School Superintendent Dr. Robert McDowell, and also the chair of the Hastings School Board, Kelsey Waits. Thank you both for filling us in. We appreciate it so very much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.